The WPKY Saturday Morning Quarterback Show is on the air on 1580, 103.3 WPKY and WPKYonline.com. Time to take a look back at last night's Caldwell game. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
The Caldwell County Tigers hosted the McLean County Cougars last night out at Tiger Stadium in the first round of the Class 2A playoffs, but McLean County got out of town with a 15-7 victory. McLean County now 9-2 on the season. The Tigers finish up their season with a 5-6 mark. Good morning, everyone. This is Todd Griffin on Saturday Morning Quarterback, live from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street. Caldwell coaches Will Barnes and Jeff Riley with us on the show today. And, Will, a tough loss for you guys, but nice to play at home last night. You guys had a great finish to the regular season, but McLean County just a little too big for us up front last night, and we had trouble kind of getting off the field at times, and McLean able to hold off a late comeback bid by you guys late.
Yeah, you know, going into the game, really the only scenario where I thought we would be in some trouble is exactly what happened last night, where, you know, they move the football consistently and pick up first downs, and it just methodically moved the ball down the field. I thought they would be able to move the ball some, but I thought if we could stop some drives and get off the field, I thought we could have some plays offensively where we could score, and you know, we did that offensively some, but you know, we had 20 some plays. That's very difficult to win. You've got to you know, get some turnovers if you have that few plays, and you got to score points when you've got the ball, and we just didn't do that. And you know, give them a lot of credit. You know, they played really hard, didn't make really any mistakes at all, and just played a lot better football game than we did, and they deserved to win for sure.
But I didn't think you guys played poorly last night. It's just, you know, a couple of things here or there that went the other way, and just couldn't get them off the field when you had them in third down situations.
Yeah, you know, the biggest play to me was we had them, I think, second and 30, or maybe
third and 29.
Third and 29, even worse than I thought. And we give up a 35-yard run. That's just a back-breaking run, because if you can stop them, they probably got a punt with the you know, what the distance was. And there's, I think, three or four minutes in the second quarter. You know, you're going to get decent field position. I felt like we were moving the ball pretty efficiently. And then, you know, if you're able to get a touchdown there and it's 8-7 going into half, getting the ball at halftime, you really like where you're at. But the exact opposite happened. You know, they pick that first down up, they drive it down there and score on the last play of the second half. And, you know, that was a big drive right there, because we had them backed up in, you know, a third and long situation like we wanted. And, you know, we let them off the hook.
Yeah, that drive ended up being the key drive of the game. They converted the third and 29, and then it went down, like you said, and scored. And 15-0 at halftime is a lot different than 8-0.
Yeah. And, you know, but still, I getting the ball out in the second half, I thought, again, you know, we did some good things offensively, just didn't have a lot of plays. And we had a good drive there in the start of the third quarter. And that was another big sequence where, you know, with the way the game went in the first half, that possessions are going to be very limited. And, you know, we wasted an opportunity there. And you've got to get a touchdown there. You know, I didn't feel like a field goal was going to help us much, because, again, I felt like I thought we might get one, maybe two more possessions in the entire game. So, you know, we drove it down there, I think, got right there around the 10-yard line and kind of fizzled out. And that was kind of honestly a storyline of our season, honestly.
But you guys were able to move the ball at times, though, when you had it. But when you look at time of possession, 36-19 for McLean County, 11-41 for the Tigers. McLean ran 64 offensive plays. We ran 27. Those are numbers that are just really tough to overcome. But you guys still had a chance there at the end.
Yeah, when it's that lopsided, you know, you go back to the Murray game. It was the exact same box score, basically. But the difference was we got a couple turnovers, and we made big plays and scored touchdowns. And that's the difference. When you have that few of plays and possessions, you have to make every one of them count. And, you know, we had probably three or four plays where we just – you know, didn't execute very well, and that's the difference in keeping a drive going and getting, you know, 35 to 40 plays where you're, you know, obviously if you have the ball more, you have a, you know, more of a chance to score. But, you know, you just look at those handful of plays that we didn't make, you know, on a third or a fourth down or on a first down, taking a shot down the field. You know, in these types of games, you got to make those plays. And if you don't, they're going to make you pay because, you know, McLean County's got a really good football team. And, you know, they're very disciplined. That's another thing that's kind of underrated about them is I don't know their season stats, but I didn't see them turn the football over very much all year long. Didn't see them commit a lot of penalties. And when you do that, you give yourself a good chance to win. And, you know, they did a good job with that.
Well, turnovers last night, neither side had one until the last play of the game. So it was a fairly clean game and not a ton of penalties either.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's kind of what I expected. You know, you would like to create some. We've done a decent job of that all year, is creating some turnovers and taking care of the ball. But that's another thing that kind of is a big deal when you're playing teams like that, to get a turnover to stop their momentum. And we weren't able to do that last night.
Yeah, Jeff, I kept waiting for us to get that game-changing, you know, turnover and pick up the momentum, but McLean County does a good job of hanging on to the football.
Yeah, they did do a good job of doing what they do. I think they, you know, they come out and execute their game plan really well, and they out-executed us when they had the football, and, you know, really that's the difference in the football game. And, you know, I was pleased with offensively how things were going, and I thought if we get the ball back to our offense a couple times, we'd have a really good chance, and we just weren't able to do that last night.
Up front, though, McLean County presents a lot of challenges.
Yeah, they're big kids. We kind of felt like hopefully our quickness could offset some of their size, but it just didn't happen that way last night, and they kind of hit us on the weak side a few times, and, you know, we weren't able to make a play there. And just like Coach Barnes said, when you get them behind the chains and you get opportunities to kill them and you give up big plays on third down and you just keep letting those big guys lean on you and lean on you and lean on you, it's a pretty helpless feeling. We had a couple things that we were trying to do to try to alleviate it, but then you gamble a little bit, and if you gamble and miss, then you give up another big play, and it's just kind of snowballed on us sometimes last night.
Well, a tough loss last night, and it didn't help that you guys lost a couple of guys during the game, too, that were key performers up front.
Well, it never helps. We feel like we had a little bit of depth up front, especially on the D-line, and kids that we weren't putting inexperienced kids into play, but it doesn't hurt when you lose good kids like Brady and Connor. And, you know, those two guys are – not only are they good football players, but they're good, hardworking kids, and they're physical kids. And, you know, those are the type of kids that can make a difference in a game like that. And, you know, we lost Connor on the first series or the first drive of the game. And, you know, and then we lost Brady right before halftime. And, you know, it stinks that those kids had to go out with an injury. And it stinks that, you know, they didn't get a chance to put their best foot forward on their senior night. But, you know, our heart goes out to those guys, and we wish we'd got it done. So maybe they'd have another week to play in Brady's case. But it just wasn't in the cards.
Well, a positive for you guys, though, Will, you were able to kind of get back in it there at the end. You hit the big pass to Logan Chambliss, and for a while there, we kind of looked like the Tigers of old, airing it out a little bit and making a big play to get back in the game.
Yeah, really, I think Luke is, towards the end of the year, has really gotten a lot better, and he played a good game last night, and that was a great throw. And, you know, it's a two-possession game with – I don't know, 6 minutes, 7 minutes left in the game. So it kind of takes you out of the run game because you've got to try to score fairly quick to give your defense a chance to get a stop and get the ball back. So, yeah, that was a big series of plays there to move the ball down the field and get that touchdown.
You guys got the score with 6:03 to go. Typically you think, hey, we've got plenty of time, but the way McLean County plays – it seems like you're at the end of the game at that point.
Yeah, they very well, you know, they basically did take the last 6 minutes off the clock there. And you know, you kind of go back and forth with onside kicking there, but, you know, they had their hands team out there. So, you know, the likelihood of you getting one right there is probably low. So, with 6 minutes, you know, you still think you've got some time to get a stop. And you know, it's not complete desperation. And if you can get a three and out, you know, which I felt like we were due for one, you get great field position, you got a chance to tie the game. And you know, we just they got a three or four first downs and really took some time off the clock, which made it difficult to you know, within that last drive.
You guys did get the ball back, just 21 seconds to go, though, and I think you had 74 yards in front of you, but you guys made that thing interesting, too.
Yeah, you know, Luke made a nice play to, you know, get 11, 12 yards, and then we had another play down the sideline to get, you know, with Jameis to kind of get us into range where we could try to push it to the end zone, and just, you know, came up short. It's really difficult to pull those types of plays off when they're in prevent type defense.
Well, on that last possession, though, I really felt like that hook and lateral play was coming.
Yeah, you know, that was one of my dad's favorite plays, so I thought about that this week for some reason, I don't know, and thought we would have a chance to hit it at some point. I almost caught it earlier, but yeah, that was a good play to get us to position on the field where we could try to take a shot at the end zone.
Now, what was the play call on the final play of the game, and what were you guys kind of looking for on that one?
You know, they had two safeties, so we sent our inside receivers down the field on the numbers, trying to get the safeties off the hash and put Jameis down the middle. And you know, they did a good job reacting to the play. I think we hit Jameis on it in a two-minute situation sometime this year. Maybe Christian County, same type of play, but McLean County did a good job defending that and you know, reacting to the ball in the air.
We talked about that being the only turnover of the game, and I didn't realize it until I went back and watched it on the video. That ball took some crazy bounces there at the end, and you know, at that point it didn't really matter except for the stats, but I'm not really sure how that ended up being an interception, because it went off of one player, and then did it hit somebody's foot or their leg and
bounce
back up?
It was weird. It took a weird bounce, you're right.
Kiowa County falling to McLean County last night 15-7 in the first round of the Class 2A playoffs. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback. We are live at the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street. Tiger coaches Will Barnes and Jeff Riley with us on the show this morning. We need to get to a break, but we'll come back and have more after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
KFC Princeton, offering their amazing fried chicken and all the fix-its. You can dine in or call your order for pickup inside or use their convenient drive-thru. Your local KFC is located on the Marion Road in Princeton. Whether you enjoy a quick lunch or take dinner home or maybe take something to a friend in need, they're always ready to help. They're also looking for team members at KFC. Ask about becoming a member of their team. KFC on the Marion Road, where they appreciate your support and they are Princeton strong.
Do you want to get into the best shape of your life? Okay, let's be honest. You just want to get into some kind of shape? Then now's the time to get to Trilogy Performance Sports and take advantage of their $100 monthly family plan. This offer allows every member of the family living in the house to use the facilities at Trilogy as well as join the classes. What a deal! Don't wait. Get in shape. This offer is only for the month of September. So start exercising now and run to Trilogy Performance Sports to sign up. For more information, go to TrilogyPerformanceSports.com.
At Caldwell Medical Center, our transitional care patients receive the same care as they would in a skilled nursing facility, including physical, occupational, respiratory, speech therapies, and more. Every situation is unique. We help our patients reach their personal goals for independent living, all delivered with the care and compassion our patients deserve, right here, close to home. For more information, visit CaldwellMedical.com.
Fredonia Valley Bank is proud of our area senior athletes and is celebrating their accomplishments. They're sharing special senior stories featuring the class of 23 in a senior spotlight. Follow YourSportsEdge.com or download the app and listen for updates on 103.3 WPKY.
The season's on the line.
As Fredonia Valley Bank gives our senior athletes a special moment to shine.
Raider Auction Company is owned and operated by Delbert Raider. Delbert has been in the agricultural field for over 40 years and is well known for his knowledge of used equipment. Raider Auction holds 4 consignment auctions a year, and they buy and sell equipment on a daily basis. If you're looking for a piece of equipment, they'll do their best to locate it, and financing is available. Contact Delbert Raider at 270-881-2610 or Amy Ezel at 270-604-2880 for all your used equipment needs. Raider Auction Company, Skyline Drive.
Princeton's beginning to look a lot like the holidays. That means it's time for the Caldwell Chamber of Commerce Holiday Open House event this Saturday, November 5th, where you can shop till you drop at participating businesses all over the community. WPKY encourages you to be sure to visit our fabulous businesses, The Tin Room, BNC Boutique, Cozy Living Interiors and Boutique, Coleman Shoe Repair and Bootery, Brantley Furniture, The Java Table, The Joshua Tree Boutique, Bella Marie Boutique, and Treasures Remembered.
When we say
classic hits,
we mean listen to WPKY worldwide at
WPKYonline.com. WPKY.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
The Caldwell County Tigers bowing to McLean County last night, 15-7 in the first round of the Class 2A playoffs. Caldwell County ending the season at 5-6. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback, live from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street, our home for Saturday Morning Quarterback throughout the 2022 season. Caldwell coaches Will Barnes and Jeff Riley with us on the show this morning. And before we go any further, we do want to say good luck to all the young teams out at the Junior Pro Jamboree. Well, it's going to be a busy 2 days of football today and tomorrow.
Yeah, glad we're able to host that this year. And I know that's a really big deal for our youth program to host, and good luck to those guys. We're definitely pulling for them, and it's just a, you know, that the whole setup of our Junior Pro is great, and you know, we're really fortunate to have the people involved with it that are involved, and good luck to those guys today.
Yeah, Jeff, not the best of weather conditions out at Tiger Stadium this morning, but hopefully the weather will improve and they can get all those games in today, and some big wins for the Caldwell teams too.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I hope it seemed like it turned into playoff football weather about 30 minutes ago. It wasn't playoff football weather last night, but it is this morning. But I was out there just a second ago, and the kids were fired up and ready to play and ready to go get a little muddy and play a little football. So hopefully they can get out there and get them a win this morning and keep playing.
Well, we were blessed this year with fantastic weather for just about every high school game. It was maybe a little chilly down at Fort Campbell, but that's about it.
The only positive thing about not having rain for 30 days in the middle of the fall is you look up on Friday night some too, I guess.
Well, unless you win the state championship, everybody ends their season with a loss. And, well, the toughest thing, I think, when you lose that last game is for the seniors, because that's their last game out there. And one of those things you just can't get back when you walk off that football field for the last time.
Yeah, you know, Coach Riley just kind of talked about it with Connor and Brady. Just aside from the fact that obviously they're really big parts of our team on offense and defense, but you know, those are two kids that have put a lot of sweat and effort into our football team for 4 years, and you just hate for that to happen for those guys, because they deserve better than that.
Well, you guys did not have a large senior class this year, so that means lots of guys coming back, right?
Yeah, but you know, you lose some really good players and some really good leadership, and you know, Brady's been, you know, kind of the guy in the middle to you know, navigate that offensive line, and you know, at times times, keep Luke straight, and you know, make sure we're doing things right offensively. So, you know, he will be really tough to replace, as will Connor and Caden Alford and obviously Jameis. When you lose a kid like that, it's you're losing a really good running back, and you're losing a really good defensive player. And so those guys are just really tough to replace, as you know, all those guys are.
Talk a little bit, though, about the progress you guys made all season, because kind of got off to that slow start this year, but I thought finished the regular season really strong and, you know, had us all believing we could beat Trigg County, and we did, and then had everybody thinking that that McLean County game was winnable, and, you know, a play or two goes a different way, and maybe you're moving on this week.
Yeah, they did a great job, you know, right kind of when district play started. We talked about how we could finish this thing off and look back on it in a positive light. And, you know, they did such a good job, because I think, you know, there are a lot of football teams and programs out there. When you start 0-5, you start playing the blame game, and it's easy to just kind of back out. You know, that's the easy thing to do, is just to shut it down. And you know, a lot of our guys had to hear about, you know, how we weren't very good from, you know, everybody in their life, and, you know, how the, you know, coaches don't know what they're doing and this and that. And so for our kids to kind of block that noise out and stay after it, it's a really, you know, a testament to how good of kids we've got, and really proud of them for that.
Jeff, I was really impressed with that defensive stop late. I know there were just a few seconds left in the game, but hey, you guys got three plays out of that and had a chance to pull that game out of the fire.
Well, that's a very positive way to look at it, Todd, and I appreciate you saying that. We'd like to got that stop with about 5 minutes on the clock instead of 30 seconds. But, you know, and just to kind of, you know, piggyback off what Coach Barnes said, you know, those guys have really bought into the last half of the season. And, you know, those senior kids, we weren't sure that we were getting a lot of leadership early, but we got a ton of leadership late. And that's one of the most important. I think they kind of, you know, talking about those guys and listening to them talk about and say those names, those kids really, they kind of started doing little things, and those little things kind of just, you know, gained a little momentum. And then that kind of turned into, you know, those 11 kids were, you know, I think it's 8 or 11, something like that. Man, I'm getting the managers in there too. But those kids really kind of led this little surge we've had here at the end. And, you know, and that was a big thing. And, you know, when you look at defensively, we kind of looked at, we have some guys back, some guys that were on the field late last night. They're going to be big parts of what we do on defense next year. And, you know, hopefully, you know, one positive thing is they can get some experience and, you know, get a little confidence from being on the field with the playoff caliber team, and, you know, come back and build off that for next year.
That was a really solid McLean County football team, I thought. And, you know, those guys probably had a bit of a chip on their shoulder, because they probably thought they should be the number two seed to be playing at home. And the way the final couple of weeks of the regular season played out, they ended up slipping down to the number three seed and having to come here.
Yeah, I just kind of looking, and we hadn't really seen those guys on film much, but watching film on them and, you know, watching their Butler County game and Todd, and watching them play Hancock, and kind of, you know, that district was really close. I mean, I think obviously Catholic's the best team in that district, but then those next three or four teams are, you know, they're very similar. They've both got big kids. They both, you know, they run their offense pretty well. They're kind of run-oriented teams, and, you know, they kind of come out on top other than the Butler County game. And, you know, they were set to be the two, and then, you know, Hancock got upset by Todd a little bit, and, you know, that changed the complexion of it. And, you know, they were determined and focused, and hats off to them for coming out and executing their game plan, and they got after us pretty well. We weren't able to reciprocate on defense.
There was another tight 2-3 game in the district or region last night in Class 2A. Murray got a late touchdown and beat Butler County up in Morgantown 27-21. And, well, that's kind of – I thought that game would be really close.
Yeah, I thought, you know, kind of like our game, it was two evenly matched teams. And, you know, if they play 10 times, it's probably 5-5. And, It sounded like it. That's kind of how the game went.
The weird thing was with the way the playoffs changed this year, we had seen Murray the last 3 years. This year we get McLean County, and those guys kind of ended up being a little bit like Murray the way they approached the game.
Yeah, they are. You're right. And it was, you know, they're not as athletic as Murray, but definitely, you know, very run oriented and were able to chew a lot of clock. And, you know, that's their best team since, I think, 1993.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've got a good team. And, you know, just kind of reading newspapers and stuff like that, you know, kind of going back what you said with the, you know, they had a chip on their shoulder. You know, they weren't even in the playoffs last year. And, you know, I think that's something, just kind of reading newspaper clippings and that type of thing, that's something that has motivated them all year. You know, they've had a good season.
They'll have a tough road next week, though, going to Owensboro to play Owensboro Catholic. Catholic knocked off Fort Campbell last night 54-8. No real surprise in that outcome, and Catholic is so good offensively that McLean County is really going to have to get after it.
Yeah, if you look at McLean County's games, the games that they've controlled the ball, they win. The games that they don't, they lose. And so last night, they were able to control the ball, very similar to what they did against Hancock, and you know, they won. And then the games they've lost, they haven't been able to do that, and they lost, you know, to Butler County and Owensboro Catholic.
Mayfield got off to a good start last night and then held on to beat Todd County Central 43-22. So Murray goes to Mayfield in the other game in the first region next week. And then you get to week three and we go back to the RPI. So I don't know who's going to play who at that point. But you got to think Mayfield and Owensboro Catholic, pretty solid favorites next week.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird deal where Owensboro Catholic's higher ranked in the RPI with three losses than Mayfield. But I think Mayfield and Owensboro Catholic are, you know, considerable favorites, I would say.
Checking some other scores, Trigg County made the trip to Hart County last night, but lost 43-36. Big offensive game there for both teams, but Trigg comes up a little bit short, and Trigg got their quarterback back last night. I'm not really sure how healthy he was, but able to get up there and play. But Hart County gets its first playoff win ever.
Yeah, I think just talking to some guys at Glasgow, I think they've got you know, one of their best teams ever. So they've had a good season, too, and got a good football team.
Hart County, I think, was 0-12 in the playoffs before getting that win last night. And I know at least one of those was a Caldwell win. So,
That's right.
Another score, Crittenden County big over Fort Knox, 53-14. Union County beat Glasgow last night, 50-20. New Union County was really good, probably their best team that I can remember. 11-0 now, but I kind of thought Glasgow might push them a little bit, but the Braves move on.
Yeah, that's a good win for Union, because you know, Glasgow's typically pretty good on defense, but I don't think it's a typical Glasgow team, and they've kind of had some struggles this year.
Some people thought Taylor County might challenge Paducah-Tillman, but Tillman won last night 37-0. And then another interesting game, Hopkinsville and Franklin-Simpson. Franklin-Simpson went to halftime with a 17-0 lead. Hoptown comes back and wins that thing 24-17. And, of course, we're pretty familiar with that Hoptown team.
Yeah, you know, happy for those guys. You know, Coach Clark that's over there now has been really good to us, really nice to us. And Coach Lopez has, you know, become a good friend over the last few years. So, you know, they've kind of had an up-and-down season, but that's a good win for them. And you know, Dejon Mercer, I don't think, played last night. So, you know, that's a really good win against a good Franklin Simpson team.
I think Hoptown has Logan County next. Madisonville North Hopkins with a win over Warren Central, 39-12. And, again, we're very familiar with Madisonville.
Yeah, they've got a good team this year and have done a lot of good things.
One other score in the area, Warren East beat Hopkins County Central 46-0 last night in the first round of the playoffs. For Caldwell County, it was a 15-7 loss to McLean County out at Tiger Stadium in the final game of the season. Caldwell County finishing up the year at 5-6. We need to get to a break here on the show. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback live from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street. Stay tuned. We're coming back after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
The Planters Bank season of giving is underway. You can drop off requested donations at any Planters branch. 12 organizations have requested specific items. The best part? Planters Bank will match the dollar value of every single item donated. Visit Planters Bank's Facebook page or website for more details. You can help local and area charities by making a donation at any branch through Planters Bank's Season of Giving.
Hey, sports fans. You wouldn't want your favorite sports team to play only offense or defense. When it comes to insurance, why settle for someone that can handle only your auto policy? At Goodwin Insurance, they take care of all your insurance needs. You deserve someone that provides comprehensive coverage and is working alongside you in your community. Contact them today for a quote.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
For 25 years, La Potosina Mexican Restaurant has been your choice for authentic Mexican food. They appreciate your business through the years. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. Pair your favorite meals with your favorite margarita. Enjoy dining in or call in for carryouts. Call 270-365-3848 to place your order. La Potosina Mexican Restaurant with locations in Princeton and Marion. Be sure to follow them on Facebook. And thanks again for 25 great years.
Hi, this is Daniel Ingram with H&R AgriPower. Take care of your property with equipment you can count on, like the Kubota BX and L-Series compact tractors, part of our under 100 horsepower tractor lineup rated number one for reliability, and Z-Series mowers and Sidekick utility vehicles where durability meets speed. Visit H&R AgriPower, your local Kubota dealer, for a demo today.
Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Take a test drive at your Kubota dealer. H&R AgriPower, Eagle Way, Hopkinsville.
As a community-owned enterprise, the Princeton Electric Plant Board provides services to the people in the Princeton area. One of the services they provide is to make sure the lights are on over our fields and courts for our Caldwell County Tigers. From everyone at the Princeton Electric Plant Board, good luck to all the Caldwell County Tigers and hopes for a safe season. And a big electric roar to their Tigers, Preston Burrell and Lily Hoare.
At YourSportsEdge.com, we strive every day to continue to bring you the gold standard in high school sports coverage with more on your teams and your players.
Where did it show up there?
And while they are not gold, those crystal awards we have won for doing what we love to do are pretty cool too.
Something we see every day.
The Kentucky Broadcaster's Best Digital Product Award winner.
Ball game over.
YourSportsEdge.com.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
We are back at the Biscuit Barn, an ice cream eatery on West Main Street. A busy Biscuit Barn this morning and a busy morning on Saturday Morning Quarterback. The Tigers falling in the playoffs last night 15-7 to McLean County out at Tiger Stadium. Coaches Will Barnes and Jeff Riley joining us on Saturday Morning Quarterback from the Biscuit Barn. And Will, overall, a fun season for you guys. The nice finish to the year. You go 4-1 over the last five games to get into playoffs. And like we talked during the season, at one point in the season, I don't know if we thought we'd get a home playoff game, but you guys were able to kind of turn things around at the midpoint of the season and really had us heading in the right direction there in the playoffs.
Yeah, we're playing some good football and playing with great effort. And, you know, things that we didn't think we were really doing early in the year. We just kind of turned it around and give our kids a lot of credit because that's not an easy thing to do.
Now, looking ahead to next season, there's going to be a new alignment come out at some point, and I think we're pretty well firmly entrenched in Class 2A at this point, but do you see any of the district changing any at all? And maybe what's your thoughts on trying to schedule for the next couple of seasons?
Yeah, I don't really know. You know, people speculate about, you know, who's going to be in where and in what district, and you know, there's really no point. You know, you might as well just wait until it actually comes out, because it's, you know, speculating on it isn't really useful, I don't think. So when that comes out, then we'll sit down, see how we think it's going to shake out, and then alter our schedule accordingly. It's typically been pretty easy because you just re-up with everybody. Like you said, we've got a lot of games that are rivalry games or games we played for a while or games that, like Madisonville, where we play in every other sport. It's just a natural game to have on the schedule. So, we'll continue to play Crittenden and Trigg and Madisonville. Union County, all those games are kind of traditional games. It makes sense. I would like to keep playing Christian and Hoptown, but that's something we'll have to look at with their status kind of in limbo with football scheduling is you do it in 2-year cycles, so it's could be a little bit of a tricky deal with those guys if they're just going to play one more football season.
Well, Jeff, the Christian County Hopkinsville thing is going to be interesting to see what the KHSAA does as far as putting them in a class and a district, because if they merge, obviously they're going to be a 6A school, and right now I think one of them's 5 and one of them's 4, right?
Yeah, you never know with that stuff. In the history, kind of in the past, it's gone a couple different ways. So I don't even know how they would even begin to do it. You would think that the first year they would be where they would fall, and then when they combine, that they would just have to be 6A, and they'll just have to make concessions and figure that out. That would be the only, to me, that's the most fair thing to do. If you're basing it on enrollment, it's not really fair to let a 6A enrollment school play in 5A. It kind of defeats the purpose. The issue with that is when they do the enrollment cycles, they take the bottom 32 and the top 32. So then you would have 33 schools in 6A as opposed to 32, and that kind of puts a wrench in it a little bit. So I don't know. I don't know how they'll handle that.
Well, typically we would already have a draft alignment, right, for the upcoming 4-year period or whatever it is. But because of COVID, the enrollment numbers kind of got shaken up a little bit. So they're still waiting for this year's enrollment numbers to come in before they can start putting teams and football teams where they need to go.
Yeah, I think the way it was explained to us is there's a date in September, late September, early November early October, that they take and they base your enrollment numbers on. So whatever, from a state point of view, I think as far as money and things of that nature, whenever those enrollment numbers are finalized and get reported officially, then the KHSAA can take those numbers and, like you said, count them twice, and then count the enrollment before COVID as your other one, and then give you your average. So that's the delay. They're waiting for this current year's enrollment numbers to come through and finalize, and then produce a draft.
Because normally it would be the previous 4 years, right?
Yeah, normally it would just be we'd take your average enrollment over the previous 4 years, and then they would factor it out for all the classifications of each sport, and you'd have a draft alignment, and Coach Barnes could already have a pretty good idea what the schedule would look like because he'd know what his district would be. But right now, I guess a lot of things we're doing right now is in reaction to what happened during COVID. Yeah. So that's kind of – and then sometimes those numbers I don't think get finalized on a definite time frame, and then the time it takes to get those finalized and then get them to the association and the association to do what they have to do to get out the draft alignment is, here it is at the end of fall sports and they're running state championships and, they're in a little bit of a holding pattern, and it just slows the process down a little bit. People get anxious, but you can't do anything until so.
Seems a little complicated, but apparently they're going to take this year's enrollment and then double it and then take the 2019 enrollment, divide all that by 3, and that's where you're going to end up in your class.
Yeah, that's why. Yes, that's right. I just checked. We had, and I think that's pretty accurate how they're going to do it. I don't know how that'll pan out for us. I don't expect it to make a change for us. I might be wrong, but I don't expect. I think we'll still be a 2A classification.
Do we anticipate any changes coming as far as playoffs or anything like that goes? Because It feels like most schools kind of like playing the other district in the first couple of rounds of the playoffs, but no doubt there are some teams out there that would rather play inside the district, and I think the thing they always point to is the travel distance you have for a few teams that have some crazy trips in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think sometimes that gets the attention, the crazy trips and the distance that a few teams have to make, and you know, with six classes, I think that's a legitimate concern. But the majority of the teams and the majority of the coaches, when polled and asked, prefer a cross district playoff format. And I think that's why we went back to it, because that's what the coaches wanted to do. And you know, I think there was such an outcry by the state coaches to do that there's, you know, that's justified. And I think, you know, sometimes as a school, you may have to make a decision that a long first round trip, if you're a lower seed to a higher seed, is not, you know, beneficial for your program and kids. And you know, I think there's a little penalty to that. But at the end of the day, you have to make your own decision. I like it because I think it's more football. More kids get to play football longer. And if you love football, you know, it's not all about just entertainment purposes for me. I believe in the game. I want kids to play. So I think as much as they can, they need to. So I like it, and I like, you know, it's interesting. The history, you know, we haven't played McLean County in a long time, and it's not a team we would normally play. And, you know, that's a good experience for our kids to have to go do that. And, you know, I think it's good for them to get on the bus and come over here to a place they have. You know, I think those are all good new experiences for kids. And I like the cross-districting, you know.
Yeah, I always like the unknown factor because, you know, when you're looking at McLean County on film, and Will, you can talk about that some, you had to come up with a game plan because it's a lot more interesting, I think, in that scenario than to play a team that you just saw 2 weeks ago, and here they come again. So, to me, it's just a lot more fun playing the other district.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I think the kids like it better, too. So I think it's just a way better deal, and you know, you're not playing somebody you just played 3 weeks ago, so it's a good thing, and you know, hopefully they continue to do it.
Yeah, you do have to kind of feel though for Marshall County that ended up having to go to Simon Kenton, and Jeff, that's a long trip, but Marshall was actually the number 5 team in their district, but because of a quirk in the way all that playoff stuff was set up, they actually become the 4 seed in another district. So they're actually not playing as a first district team. They're playing as the 4 seed from another district. So that's kind of what ends up with them making that long trip up to Northern Kentucky for the playoffs.
Yeah, that's kind of why that 32 team thing, when you talk about consolidation, is that'll be a little bit of an issue when you have another. You have another 6A team on this side of the state, and what district are they going to be in? And, you know, so it'll change the way that works out some. I just, you know, and I do feel for Marshall County. That stinks that they had to get on a bus and drive all the way over there to play a game. But you shouldn't not do something because of one or two teams, I don't think. And so I think for overall, it's a better system just because of that. And you know, I don't know. I mean, part of me as a football coach, you know, it's not a fun ride, and it's not a fun ride back, but if you get to get your kids on the charter bus and you take them halfway across the state and you stop and you practice somewhere in between and you go out to eat and you do some of those things that, you know, that are memorable for your kids, and even though, you know, the football side of it didn't work out the way you wanted it to, you still get to experience some of that stuff, and it's not always a bad thing.
Well, listening to the Marshall County radio guys a couple of weeks ago, they think they're headed to 5A with the next alignment, so maybe they'll get away from some of those 6A trips.
Yeah, and that'll help in that regard, to where they won't have to maybe go across the state past Lexington to play in a first-round playoff game, and hopefully for them that it'll work out that way.
Well, and some people like the 6-class format. Some people would rather go back to 4. I kind of like that 6A gives more schools an opportunity, or 6 classes.
I just like to get to play more football, and the more kids that get to play more football, I think that's good. You know, it is probably a little watered down, you can argue, and I think compared to other states, maybe Kentucky doesn't have enough schools to be a 6A. You know, if you start looking at, you know, the southern schools that have Tennessee and Georgia and places like that, but for us and in this play, I like it. I think it's just good for kids to get experience playoff football. And, you know, they get the experience playoff atmosphere in every other sport, no matter what your, you know, no matter what your regular season looks like. And you get to go to a district tournament or meet or match or whatever and get to experience playoffs. And, You know, I like that for football kids, even though sometimes it's lopsided. But
this is Saturday Morning Quarterback, live from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street. And we appreciate the Biscuit Barn hosting us all season for Saturday Morning Quarterback. We need to get to a timeout on the show, but we'll come back and finish things up right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Of all the holidays we observe, Thanksgiving is the most distinctively American. The traditions we celebrate were created to honor the hopes and dreams, fortitude and gratitude of our forefathers, and the American families who have counted their many blessings for generations since. At Pennyryle Electric, we give thanks for you. We appreciate your trust and your friendship. Happy Thanksgiving from the people of Pennyryle Electric, thankful to have empowered our members and the communities we serve since 1937.
At Tricews, they're ordering it your way. How would you like to have a vehicle built just for you? Little things are important, like rich colors, big screens and displays, almost like watching TV. Exteriors with beautiful style and powerful engines that respond to the lightest touch on the accelerator. It's time to get what you want. Order your new ride and feel the thrill when you drive off the lot. Tricews in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit Tricews.com. That's Tricews.com.
Fortner Gas Company has been serving the propane needs of Western Kentucky for 70 years. You'll find offices in Princeton and Cadiz. They're your local and family-owned propane supplier. Browse their website to discover the many services and products available. You can shop in person or online, and they can answer any and all questions in person or on the phone. If they're already your propane supplier, they say thank you. If they're not, they would love to be. Fortner Gas Company, a family tradition of service since 1951.
Life is filled with moments. Moments we share with those we love, worry about, and strive to protect the most. At Woodman Life, we provide life insurance and retirement products to help protect you and your family so that you can enjoy all the moments to come.
This is Josh Ray, your local Woodman Life agent. Come see us at 1009 West Main Street or give us a call at 365-6111.
Certain eligibility and age restrictions apply. Woodman of the World Life Insurance Society, Omaha, Nebraska.
December 10th impacted our community in a way that we will never forget. Much was lost that night, some of which can never be replaced. In the days since, we have witnessed something that can never be taken away. The pride of our community, the resiliency of our people, and their resolve to rebuild. The road to recovery has begun, and Farmers Bank wants to do our part to help those impacted by the storm. Let us walk you through the process with our Rebuild Construction Loan Special. Call us or apply online to get started. This is Jeff McDaniels, Farmers Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, trendsetter, Magnolia 2 Boutique invites you to their Fall in Love with Magnolia Fall Preview, November 11th and 12th. Enjoy 15% off most everything in the store with fun giveaways both days. You'll find new arrivals perfect for those holiday pictures and get-togethers. This is the perfect time to get a jump on your Christmas shopping. Follow Magnolia 2 Boutique on Facebook or online at Magnolia2, that's T-O-O.com. Visit November 11th and 12th and fall in love with Magnolia.
Chick-fil-A of Hopkinsville wants to salute the outstanding achievements of our area student athletes. Each week, a student athlete will be chosen based on academics, athletics, and achievements. Watch for the Chick-fil-A AAA Young Person of the Week at yoursportsedge.com. Academics, athletics, and achievements. The Chick-fil-A AAA Young Person of the Week at yoursportsedge.com.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Back at the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on Saturday Morning Quarterback this morning. Coaches Will Barnes and Jeff Riley with us on the show. Caldwell County finishing up its season last night, falling to McLean County 15-7 out at Tiger Stadium in the first round of the Class 2A playoffs. More football, though, out at the stadium today. Junior Pro Jamboree time. Six games on tap today for the youngsters, and then the two championship games tomorrow. The cheer competition also set for Sunday afternoon out at Tiger Stadium, so good luck to all of those teams. I also want to give a shout-out to Emma Talley, tied for 14th right now at the Toto Japan Classic, entering the final round. Emma is at 7 under par. Got a cameo last night on Golf Channel. If you stayed up late and watched that. The top 15 in the last event in South Korea made just over $30,000. So guys, if you can stay in that top 15, top 20, get in the top 10, you can make some good money.
Pretty good weekend's work,
yeah.
Right there, I guess.
Emma's tee time for Sunday's final round is 9:01 a.m. With a time difference, that's actually 7:01 tonight. So maybe
she gets
some
time.
TV time tonight. Yeah. Well, long season for you guys. Remember going back to the first scrimmage at Owensboro Catholic, but it was a fun ride. Didn't always win every game we wanted to win, but, well, fun season for you guys, and just couldn't quite get past McLean County last night.
Yeah, and you know, proud of our kids for continuing to show up and play hard and got better, you know, throughout the season where we won some games people didn't think we could win, and just proud of their effort. And you're right, it is a disappointing ending, but you know, if you're a competitor and you lose your last game, it's going to be disappointing. But hopefully, you know, when a couple of weeks go by, we can kind of look back and you know, celebrate the positive things. And, you know, really proud of all of our players and really our seniors that, you know, did a good job all year long.
Yeah, the way you guys finished the last 5 weeks of the regular season, even the Mayfield game where we did some good things, you almost wish you could go back and play a couple of those early games over, but it doesn't work that way. But those games kind of helped you get where you were.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we got exposed early, and you know, we were able to make some adjustments and get a little bit better and played some better football towards the end. So that's what you want to do.
Is it just a case of some guys that maybe tried to figure out their roles on the team early, and about the midpoint of the season, the light kind of went on for everybody?
Yeah, I think just, you know, we had some injuries and some people out early, and you know, we had some young guys that were playing and trying to fit them exactly where we thought they needed to be. So it took 5 or 6 games to really kind of get it to where we thought we had everybody where they were supposed to be. And then you know, had another injury that kind of threw us off, you know, kind of had to retool again. So, you know, it was, you know, our kids did a good job and really proud of them.
Pretty excited, though, about what you've got coming back for next season?
Yeah, we got some good players coming back, but you know, we'll have to have a really good off season and you know, a really good summer and all that type of thing to have a chance to be decent.
Jeff, looked like a big crowd out at Tiger Stadium last night, and that's always good for the home team.
Yeah, well, both teams in this case, because we split this one, but it is good. And you know, our kids felt the crowd, and I you know, it was a fun night and a good atmosphere. They brought a big crowd, so I think that's positive for our kids, and our community always shows up and supports our kids. So you know, we're thankful for that. And you know, with that being said, the cheerleaders are going to Owensboro today for a competition. So shout out to them and wish them luck as they go and compete in the KHSA state competition for the first time in a couple of years. So, you know, I know they've worked really hard to put a good squad competition together and go up there and kind of get their toes wet in competition again for, I guess it's been a few years. So I know Coach Frisch is excited, and I think the girls are pretty excited, so we wish them luck.
Well, and things never slow down in the athletic department. You guys have basketball, and I'm sure you're selling tickets for that already.
Yeah, if you are want to keep your season basketball tickets, just call up the school. We should send a letter out this week and, you know, let you know. And if you're interested in hanging on to your seats, you know, let us know as soon as possible, and we'll get some ticket information out. I think both teams have had their parent meetings and kind of got that going. I think the girls scrimmage a week from today, so
yeah,
jump right from one to the next.
Well, we certainly appreciate the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery for hosting us all year on Saturday Morning Quarterback. Thanks to you guys for coming in each Saturday morning. I really appreciate it. Thanks to Bryce Thompson back at the studio for getting us on the air each week, and I appreciate everybody tuning in and listening to the show. We get a lot of comments on Saturday Morning Quarterback, so I appreciate that. And we'll just, like I said, didn't always get all the wins we wanted, but it was another fun season, and can't wait to kick off 2023.
Yeah, we'll take a little break, and you know, get started on next season. But before we get out of here, I do want to mention our senior managers that they do a great job, and we're lucky to have them. It's Rachel McClung and Emma Peak and Madison Gill, and they do a fantastic job and keep everybody in mind. And I really appreciate all their hard work.
What's the off season plan for you guys now?
We're going to take a little time just to be honest. As far as the coaching staff goes, it really wears on us the entire season, and especially early in the year when they're not playing well. It's a lot of sleepless nights, and so I think we're going to take a little time to kind of rejuvenate, and then we'll get back after it and do what we do.
All right, appreciate you guys coming in. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you all for doing this. It's really a special thing.
That's going to wrap us up on this final edition for the 2022 season of Saturday Morning Quarterback, live from the Biscuit Barn and Ice Cream Eatery on West Main Street. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
You've been listening to the Saturday Morning Quarterback Show with your host, Todd Griffin. For high school sports news from across the area, go to YourSportsEdge.com.
WPKY Princeton.